take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Everybody, it's Izzy Lyman. We're beginning the second hour. We are listening to WCHY 97.7 FM Sheboygan. The show is Your Defending Fathers, and there's actually a website, yourdefendingfathers.com. If you can prefer to listen that way than via the radio, it's all good. And we have a text line, 231-758-7707. And I'm going to welcome Pastor Rusty Chatfield into the show. He is the Northern Michigan Baptist Bible Church pastor, head pastor, and he teaches, he teaches Michigan, but you do that too. He teaches history at the Northern Michigan Christian Academy. And happy Ides of March, Pastor.
Okay, yeah, that slipped by me. Okay, very good.
Right, Julius Caesar, too, right. And all that.
Right, yeah, to Brutus.
Yes, and very you're going to talk, yes, very good. And you're going to talk to us about, does luck play a role in history, is what you told me?
Yes.
Interesting.
Lucky. You got lucky. All right. Now, there's two perspectives to this, obviously. Luck is almost everything, and luck is nothing. Mm. Okay. In a sense, this is a gigantic theological question. And on Sunday nights, we're studying in church, I'm preaching through the book of Ecclesiastes. And the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible follows Proverbs, written by Solomon. And it's written from man's perspective. I mean, the key words of this book of the Bible are under the sun, and I perceived, or I said in my heart.
Mm.
It was written by the wisest men that ever lived, Solomon, but from the human perspective. Now, is it true? Yes, but from the human perspective. There's the human perspective of things, and there's God's perspective of things. And these things are incomprehensible, in my view. They are, you cannot reconcile these things. It's just impossible to reconcile. I don't spend too much time worrying about it because I can't reconcile it anyway. In other words, this is the gigantic question of all history, about God, about heaven and hell, about what's going to happen, is one, we make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is, you know, the free will of mankind. And two, the sovereign will of God. Now, neither of those phrases exactly are in the Bible, but
right.
Does God rule in history? Is his will performed, or is it our will, the choices that we make, and dumb luck?
Dumb luck.
There are times when the football, especially the football, I mean, you can't judge which way a football is going to bounce. It is, well, God can judge, but there's no human being can see a football coming down and can know precisely which way that ball is going to bounce, say on a punt. It's unpredictable. You cannot predict it. It's luck. But on the other hand, we understand there's a theologian who's passed away, R.C. Sproul, who said there's not one errant molecule in the universe. All the galaxies and all the stars and all the planets in all the galaxies, there are millions and millions of stars in our galaxy, or billions, actually, and then there are billions and billions of galaxies, and every time we get a new, better telescope, we find out there's more galaxies. God made all that, and there's not one molecule that is circling anywhere in the universe that God does not know about. He knows it all. He is omniscient. And so being omniscient, almighty, omnipresent, God, in a sense, there is no luck. But in another sense, and from the perspective of the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a lot of things that are based on luck. It is the way that is. And how much time I got before the break, Lizzie? Should I read this scripture?
Oh, okay. Well, we're on the break now, so you hold that scripture reading until we get back.
Real good.
Thanks for asking.
I'll be done. Okay.
Thank you, everyone. We're speaking with Pastor Rusty Chatfield. I'm Izzy Lyman. Please stay with us after the break.
Are you tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential, even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tolini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebels for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Politics doesn't belong in the classroom, nor does the woke agenda. Hi, it's Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. As a physician, I know the importance of education. I want every child to have the same opportunities I did. That's why we must return to teaching academics rather than confusing children on gender issues. I will fight for the future of this generation. Vote Dr. Sherry O'Donnell for U.S. Senate. Paid for by Doc Sherry for Senate.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
Hello, everybody. It's Izzy Lyman. Welcome back to the show. I'm speaking with Pastor Rusty Chatfield on the role of luck in history, and he was about to read some scripture. But, Pastor, I have a quick question for you. What is the difference between, say, karma, fate, luck? Because I think sometimes people mix all those up.
Yeah, good question. Okay, karma, that's kind of a Hindu phrase.
Sure.
That is... You know, it's kind of meant to be. It was, it was meant to be. It is somewhat similar. You ever heard this expression, what goes around comes around?
Sure.
It was your fate. Fate would be something is destined to happen, and it might be dumb luck, but it's just going to happen. It's kind of like when the coyote was chasing the roadrunner. You just knew that big rock was going to fall on his head, man. It was fated to be that way. Mm. But in the Bible, we don't believe in fate as if it's dumb or if it's just destined by some unknown force. We believe that God is the ruler of all history, and ultimately there is no such thing as luck. There is some, I mean, even on a human level, the way you treat people is the way you're going to get treated. It's a general rule.
Sure.
As a general rule, Jesus said, with the same measure ye meet, it shall be meted to you again. If you'll be a giver, people will give back to you. If you're not a giver, then it will not be given unto you. And that is a general principle of Scripture. And you can even see how that generally operates in history in our human everyday lives. You'd be a friendly person, you have friends. The Bible says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. A person that's kind of friendly and smiles and tries to be kind to people generally has people friendly with them. Now, all that said, that's not an absolute, even in the Bible. Sometimes bad things happen to people, and it looks like it's just terrible, dumb luck. And okay, let me read this scripture, and then I'll try to explain it, and then I'll give you some instances of history.
Okay.
Here I am reading in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. From the human perspective, you say, well, who won this battle? Well, it was the powerful. Not necessarily, got lucky. So something happened that nobody could foresee. He's a successful farmer. Well, because he had perfect conditions that year. And somebody bought the property the following year and lost a ton of money because the weather wasn't right. Now, it looks like time and chance. Happens all the time. I mean, you can use instances of people that have made billions of dollars. You know, riches to men of understanding. Oh, whether you're talking about Zuckerberg or
Elon
anybody.
Musk.
Elon Musk. You're born into the right family. You've got a good IQ, and opportunities present themselves, and you go through those opportunities that present themselves. Next thing you know, you're a billionaire. Listen, there's lots of people that are just as smart as them that were not in the right spots to make the money. I mean, there's lots of people that are super intelligent in all over the world, don't have the opportunities as we do in America, and they're not rich. They're just surviving. And you say, well, it's because, well, they're not that wise. They're not that smart. They don't work hard enough. No, that's not it. Now, granted, there's some measure of working hard, but there's some measure of luck. And I just read you this scripture. Okay, it is what it is. The race doesn't always go to the swift. The battle doesn't always go to the strong. Bread to the wise and so on and so forth. We've been watching so much history about World War II and explaining Adolf Hitler and all this. I mean, he was kind of a man for ill, in our opinion, of course, who was born into a situation where he just stepped in, and it seemed like it was destined for him. And up to the very last few days of his life, he thought he was destined. It was destiny. And he didn't believe in God, but he believed in destiny. And this is just proves that this happened. Even in 1944, in the summer of 1944, when they attempted to assassinate him with a bomb, and some people near him died, but he was just shaken up and he wasn't badly injured. He just said, oh, see, destiny's on my side. I survived.
Arrogant, I would say.
Hey, he didn't believe in luck, though. I mean, he believed in – he was – by the way, there's something else that's super interesting because anybody out there cares about this. The occult, O-C-C-U-L-T, practices of the Nazis and the roots of the Nazi system and the occultic practices is fascinating. They were into a lot of different forms of evil, and is what it is. That's, you know, now obviously they lost. Good, they lost. But there was some luck there. I'll start off of that. When I was going to, I finished reading a book recently about the Battle of Britain, Operation Sea Lion, from the Germans' perspective. And the name of the book was The Splendid and the Vile. The Splendid is talking about Churchill and everything going on for that about a year when they were under the blitz of the Nazis. And it was also did a lot of talking about Hitler and Goring and Goebbels and his entourage of people advising him. Goring, the head of the German Luftwaffe, their air force, convinced Hitler that we could bomb London into submission. First of all, our fighter jets are better than theirs, and we can bomb Britain into submission. And let's not have a full-scale invasion until we get air superiority. Okay, that would have been in the summer of 1940. They were making those arguments. Now, we now know, of course, Hitler didn't know this, that the British, they had no confidence whatsoever that they could stop an invasion. They were training everybody how to fire a gun. And you remember the speech of Churchill, we'll fight them on the beaches. We'll fight them in the streets. Well, I mean, they thought they were going to fight them in the streets because they didn't think that they could stop a full-scale invasion. They just didn't think they could do it. Now, Hitler didn't want to lose his air force, and Goring convinced him, hey, our fighters are better, and we can let's get air superiority, then we'll do our invasion. Well, the Battle of Britain, you know, was won by the British. They took out way more airplanes of the RAF did than they lost. And by early 41, it became evident that they weren't going to the Germans were not going to be able to force the British into surrender. And then they started bombing British cities at night, and they did a lot of damage, but they didn't win that battle. You could say that the Battle of Britain was a turning point of the war. But here's luck. Here's where luck comes in. If Goring would have kept his mouth shut, if Hitler would have gone with his original instincts, in this case, I'm glad he didn't, and some were advising him, no, we've got to let's invade right now. There'd been a lot of losses. What would have happened? In other words, so the Battle of Britain was won because of Goring's arrogance and miscalculation of what he could do. It is true. Remember what Churchill said: "Never in the fields of human history has so much been owed by so many to so few." Talking about the RAF pilots, the great victory they had, but it was because of Hitler's mistakes. Is why they won. And you could even fast forward now to say 1941, when Hitler, and here he was in control of virtually all the continent of Europe, had invaded Poland in 1939 and took it easily, then invaded the Low Countries, Netherlands, Belgium, swung around the Maginot Line, took France, and unbelievably, in just a few weeks, was occupying the northwest a section of France. The southeast section of France was called Vichy France. It was they were collaborating with the Nazis. I mean, he was in control of all Europe. But he thought, you know, I need this living space. I need more space for the German speaking people. And he made that fateful decision to break the treaty, the non-aggression pact that he'd signed in 1939 with the Soviet Union, and invade the Soviet Union. Now, within a year or two, that proved to be a terrible mistake also, when his army was freezing to death outside Stalingrad. And by 43, 44, I mean, they were being pushed back until eventually in 45, that, you know, the Soviet Union are the ones that go into Berlin and find the body of Hitler after he committed suicide. What if Hitler would have not made a dumb mistake? You know, the problem is Hitler wanted to conquer the world, and he had no patience. So he made some blunders for which World War II was won. You don't know what would have happened. I'll give you another blunder, seems to me, a blunder. after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941, we immediately declared war on Japan. It was not an altogether foregone conclusion that we would have declared war on Germany. But Germany, I think it was 4 days later, made the decision for us and declared war on us. And so with that decision, much of our initial efforts were to defeat the Nazis in Europe, and while we're trying to fight the Japanese in the Pacific. You know, he made blunder after blunder. And so as far as we're concerned, we call that luck. The other guys made a bad decision. It's not that, remember now, the United States of America had overwhelming economic resources, more than the world. I had an extra credit. I'll give you an extra credit question I gave to the high schoolers in the quiz this week.
Extra credit.
Okay, fill in the blank. What city in America won World War II? This is an exaggeration, granted, but it's only a slight exaggeration.
And what is that?
Detroit. It is said by the middle of the war, we had converted almost all of our automobile factories and everything. We were turning out. I'm talking about Detroit, the Detroit area, Michigan. I mean, without that, that's why we won World War II. Overwhelmingly, we could just produce planes and jeeps and tanks and trucks and ships. And we had so many – by the end of the war, we had so many more aircraft carriers and than the rest of the world. Why? Because we could produce. But here's my point, though. We weren't making the best at that time. The German tanks were still better than our tanks. And our pilots – for instance, initially, anyway, they were no better than the Japanese. Maybe not as good. I mean, the Japanese, especially the planes that could drop these torpedoes for ships, they were really good. We were not so good at it. We are good at dive bombers. So the battle doesn't always go to the strong. It does not always go to the strong. And I would even argue this, that when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, I hate to say that's lucky for us, but what it did do is awaken the sleeping giant. And we really turned in like we've never turned before in full force against the Japanese and the Germans. And, you know, that's why we won the war. I mean, there's all these things that just happened. Otherwise, who knows what would have happened? History is so full of these things all the time. It was full of them. And I always remember this. There was arguments among the German high command of what to do here, and behind Hitler's back, most of them didn't like Hitler. They disrespected him, but hey, they wouldn't do it to his face if, you know, they valued their life and the life of their family, but they disrespected Hitler. They did. But Hitler was there. How did he get there? Here's another quirk of history. You know that after World War...
Hold your thought, Pastor. We're about to go to break, and I want to give out our text number if someone would like to ask you a question and with your discussion and your knowledge. So we're talking with Pastor Rusty Chatfield this morning, and we have 231-758-7707. I am sure that Pastor Chatfield would love to answer your questions on this amazingly complicated topic of luck, and we will be back with him after the break. Thanks for listening. I am Izzy Lyman.
Michigan.